good self. A parshat has surmounted mayam, the illusory energy. By indeed, a Vaishnavim of Lord Vishnu, Janamohanim, which deludes the mass of people. Yet, since Vihaya, giving up Asuram of the demons, Bhavam, the mentality, Mahapurushatam, the position of an exalted devotee, Gataha, obtained. It's a translation. You have surmounted the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, and because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. So you can repeat. You have surmounted. That's a big word for you. That means overcome. The illusory energy of Lord Vishnu. And because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. So, purport by Sivangre Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Vishnu is the Maha Purusha. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava attains the position of a Maha Purusha. This position was attained by Maharaj Parikshit. It is said in the Padma Purana that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that a demigod is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, whereas a demon is just the opposite. Vishnu mukta smito doiva asurastad viparyayaha. Ritrasura was considered a demon, but actually he was more than qualified as a devotee or maha purusha. If one somehow becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, whatever his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. This is possible if an unalloyed devotee tries to serve the Lord by delivering him in this way. That's the key. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, fourth chapter, text 18, Kirato Hundadra Pulindrapur Kasha Abhira Chumba Yavanakasadayaha Yenge Chapapa Yada Pashraya Shayaha Shudanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kiratas, Punas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbas, Yavanas and other members of the Kasa race, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. For he is the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character according to the pure devotee's directions. Thus, even if one is a Karata, Andra, Pulinda, or whatever, he can be purified and elevated to the position of a Maha Purusha. So, Bhavanatarshan Mayam Mayam Vai Vaishnavim Janam Mohinim Yad Vihaya Suram Bhavam Maha Purushatam Gataha. So Om Gana Timuranda Shah Gidanjana Shvakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigarve Namaha. So Vichitsura, of course, and we told the story previously, was a Chitraketu. And Chitraketu was extremely materially attached, so much so that he married 10 million wives. We mentioned this in a previous class. And that's extreme attachment. Because he wanted a son, and he never got a son. And finally, there's the harsh Ashoka. But the point I'm making is that Narada Muni did not come to preach to Chitraketu until Chitraketu was ready. Because in the beginning, when Chitraketu wanted a blessing to have a son, who came? That was Angira. Angira is a great sage, pure devotee too. But Narada Muni is specifically known for preaching pure devotional service, renunciation, etc. He is something like the first sannyasi in the creation. Isn't it? Because you have Brahma, and Brahma's son is Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is simply Narada Muni Bhaja Bhina, Radhika Namana, Radhika Ramana Namane. He is simply traveling everywhere, and he is so renounced that even when he was cursed by Daksha to not have a place of residence, he took that curse as a benediction. So Narada Muni is the original sannyasi. So whenever there's pure devotional service to be preached, Narada Muni shows up. But if someone is not ready for pure devotional service, then Narada Muni doesn't show up. So Chitraketu really had to be smashed a little bit. And his smashing, of course, was that his son, Harshashoka, died being poisoned by 9,999,999 of his wives. And then Narada Muni showed up. And then Narada Muni began to preach to him about renunciation. So it was Narada Muni's association that assured that Vritrasura would become a pure devotee of the Supreme, or Chitraketu, who later became Vritrasura, would become a pure devotee of the Lord. It wasn't simply that he had a bad experience in the material world. There's many people with bad, actually everyone has a bad experience in the material world, and they don't become renounced. Why is this? This is explained by Yudhisthira Maharaj in the Mahabharata. When he was asked, you turn down the volume a little bit, it's a little too high, you're starting to get feedback, and I have to keep the microphone far away from me. When Yudhisthira Maharaj was asked, what is the most amazing thing in this world? And Yudhisthira Maharaj replied, Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchantiya amalya. So what that verse means is, again and again, ahani, ahani, bhutani, the living entities, gacchanti, they are going. Where are they going? Yamalaya. That means they're going to see your friend, Yamaraj. Which basically means they're all dying. But then at the end of the verse it says, Kim Ascharya Kalpara. It is so amazing that in spite of that, we think we're not going. And another example Prabhupada gives as far as like experiencing unhappiness or seeing the pain of this material world, that the ladies, they will have a child and experience extreme pains of childbirth, and they will vow never again. And then they have another child. I mean, that's the covering of the illusory energy, that we experience something and then we try to do it again. And this is called, of course, punak punas, charvita charvananam, chewing the already chewed. And there was one great person in the Western world, in Germany, Einstein, and he stated the insanity. He gave a definition of insanity. And he said, the definition of insanity is to keep on doing the same thing and think you're going to get a different result. You understand? That's the definition of insanity. You can use that in some class in the future. But it's interesting. So people are punak punas charvita charvita, doing the same thing, chewing the chewed, and they're thinking they're going to get a result of happiness, and that's simply amazing that they don't. So that's Krishna's illusory energy. So therefore, one doesn't become renounced simply by experiencing the pangs of this material world. However, If upon experiencing the pangs of this material world, one takes shelter of the Lord, then the Lord's devotee comes. Brahmanna brahmatai khanna bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasari vai bhakti lata bish. In other words, the living entity is wandering throughout all the different universes and trying to enjoy the material world, but when he has a little glimmer of devotion to the Lord, then Krishna sends his representative, Vaishnava. And then the Vaishnava implants something in the heart of the devotee called the bhakti lata bij. That means the creeper of devotion, or the seed. Actually, technically, it's the seed of devotion. And then that seed of devotion is watered by hearing and chanting. So therefore, we find in every case where people who were not only demons, but low-class people became devotees, it was all due to the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. It didn't happen because they became frustrated in the material world. My own personal experience, I guess I can reveal this, that I became frustrated in the material world, and then I started praying to God. And I said, please help me, save me, God, engage me in your service. In English, I was praying. What is that? It's a musical interlude? So I was praying, my dear, I got so frustrated, and then because of that, I got the association of Prabhupada. How did I get the association of Prabhupada? Prabhupada came on the radio. You know, but they were playing this happening album that Prabhupada had recorded, and I heard, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, by that sadhu sangha, isn't it? Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. By that brief association, that started my devotional path. That association with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And we see that Srila Prabhupada coming to the Western world, sitting down in Tompkins Square Park, and people hearing the holy names, that started people's devotional service. From associating or hearing from a pure devotee, because it's the sound vibration that affects one. In other words, the physical presence is not necessary. But it's the sound vibration. The sound vibration is present, of course, in the speech, in the recordings of the pure devotee, in the words written, in the literature that the pure devotee has written. And if anyone comes in contact with them, it starts their devotional service, and no matter how contaminated or how fallen that person is, they can become a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by taking that association. And then, of course, there's many examples of that. Even people who didn't even want that association, people who were enemies of the Vaishnavas, by getting that association with the devotee, because that's called the Gyata Sukriti, not knowing what they're doing, they became pure devotees. I mean, the typical example, story told many times, is the story of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. I mean, here was someone who wanted to make Haridas fall down. I mean, that was her intention, to make Haridas fall down. But by hearing the holy names from Haridas Thakur for 3 days, she became such a great pure devotee that basically she gave up everything. She shaved her head. I mean, for a lady to shave their head is kind of difficult. Like Prabhupada said, I mean, jokingly one time, not to insult any of you ladies, he said, the ladies' main business is combing their hair. You understand? Combing their hair is the ladies' main business. They spend so long combing the hair. I mean, I know I had long hair before, and I used to spend hours combing it all the time. So I know it's, what a botheration. But still, because there's, because there's some vanity, you know, the hair is there. So she gave up her vanity, she gave up her attachment to her body, she gave up her money, everything because of the association of Haridas Thakur, hearing the holy names. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I'm here, you have someone go from the lowest position in society. I mean, it is the lowest. Prostitution is the lowest. You can go as far as ladies are concerned. And then to the highest position, by the mercy of a pure devotee. There's another interesting story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's actually in the Chaitanya Mangal. It's a story about this dacoit. There's two stories, actually. One story is about a dacoit named Chand Roy. That's a typical Bengali name. So Chand Roy was a really bad dacoit, and actually he used to even kill devotees sometimes and attack people. Finally, but his father was a great devotee. So what happened is that his father pleaded with Lord Nityananda when Chand Roy got very sick due to the effects of his sinful actions. He was very sick, he had cholera, he was getting ready to die. And Lord Nityananda saved him, and then Chand Roy became such a great devotee. But because he was a dacoit, he had to go to jail. They caught him eventually, sent him to jail. And when he was in jail, of course he continued his devotional practices, but his father wanted to get him out of jail, so his father called for a Durga person. You know, someone who's worshipping Durga, Chandi. They call, in Bengali, they call Durga Chandi sometimes. So, this person who was doing it, he was a Shakta. That means a person who worships the Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was doing all these different mantras and everything like that. Finally, he somehow or other appears in the same prison house as Chand Roy by this Shakta worship. The Shaktas actually have some potency like that. You see that in Bengal especially. There's a lot of Shakta worshippers. Sometimes they even curse the devotees. There was one devotee who ate a sweet ball one time that was cursed, and he ended up with a demon in his stomach. This really happens in Bengal. It's quite frightening sometimes. So therefore you don't want to eat unless you know who cooked for you in Bengal. So the Shakta came into the prison and he said to Chand Roy that I can take you out. I can liberate you. And Chand Roy said, no, I'm only devoted to Krishna. I won't take help from Durga. Interesting, isn't it? And so he remained in prison, but he kept chanting the Lord's holy name. So one day, the Muslim or whoever was in charge of the government decided to kill him, because he was such a bad dacoit, or previously a bad dacoit. So what happened is they called for this big elephant to trample him to death. And so this giant, wild, angry elephant came to trample Chand Roy to death. And what happened is that Chand Roy grabbed the elephant's trunk and he pulled the trunk off the elephant. You know the trunk is attached. It's the elephant's nose. I know many of you have not seen elephants. And the elephant died. And he was just chanting the Lord's holy name. So by his devotion, he became such a great devotee that the Lord saved him in such a situation like that. So you see that by the association, of course that's Lord Nityananda, but the pure devotees are Lord Nityananda's representatives. Other stories about Lord Nityananda, another nice story that is sometimes told is, once upon a time, Lord Nityananda was holding kirtan in Navadvip. He had been sent to Navadvip by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Jagannath Puri, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he would not be able to go back to Navadvip, but he sent Lord Nityananda. The reason Lord Chaitanya couldn't go back to Navadvip is because his family was there. When a sannyasi takes sannyas, generally the sannyasi should not go back to the village which he was born in. It's not the proper procedure. So anyway, Lord Nityananda was holding these kirtans all night long, and Lord Nityananda was quite an interesting avadut person, because Lord Nityananda, in spite of being in the renounced order of life, at least in the beginning, he used to wear jewelry all over his body. Earrings, jewelry, gold. I mean, a lot of opulence. And so whenever the dacoits would see him, they would think, How can we steal? So Lord Nityananda was holding these performances, and the head of the dacoits, he was also worshiping Durga. He worshiped Durga to get the ability to rob Lord Nityananda in the middle of the night. So he and his associates went outside of Lord Nityananda's house, or where Lord Nityananda was holding the kirtan, and they were waiting for the proper time when everybody, the kirtan would quiet down and they could attack Lord Nityananda. But what happened is they fell asleep. And they woke up the next morning, like at 8 o'clock in the morning, they thought, well, we didn't worship Durga enough. So let's do more Chandi Puja tonight. And they were all doing Durgaya Namaha, whatever they do. I'm not expert in that area of the Vedic literatures. So they were worshiping again. And what happened is they came back the next night to attack Lord Nityananda. And then they saw these gigantic Vaikuntha guards. Each one was about 4 meters high, guarding Lord Nityananda. And so they thought, well, and they were all chanting Hare Krishna. They're having kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, you know. And so the dacoits said, this is not the right time to attack. Let's come back in about 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they came back. And at that time, it started raining, basically hail, rain, pus, blood coming from the sky. They were blinded. They fell in ditches. They were being eaten by the worms in the ditches, and they couldn't see anything. Finally, the dacoit started praying. He said, I made a mistake. Please, Lord Nityananda, save me. So somehow or other, he was able to go to Lord Nityananda, surrendered to Lord Nityananda. He became a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's interesting, isn't it? How, these are different stories of how low-class people, dacoits, which is what Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, Kurata Kunandra Pulinda Pulkasha, quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, how people even from a low-class background became, or, you know, not a low-class, like sinful background, can become Krishna conscious. And sometimes devotees even have to make tricks to make people Krishna conscious. And there's a story in the Bhagavatam about this, that once upon a time, the mother of the demons, her name is Diti, and therefore the demons are called Daityas, wanted to, basically, she wanted to kill Indra. Because even though Indra was her nephew, because Diti and Aditi are sisters, she wanted to kill him because she blamed Indra for all the problems her sons were having. I can't believe this. So she was blaming Indra for all the problems her son was having. She said, because of Indra, this Vishnu is coming. Now, I can't kill Vishnu, but what I can do is the next best thing, is kill Vishnu's devotee, Indra. Because for the sake of Indra, Vishnu is incarnating as Vamanadeva, Lord Nrisingadeva. I mean, all the incarnations basically are coming for the demigod's sake, to save the demigods. Or Mohini Murti, who stole the nectar from the demons. So she went to her husband, Kashyapa, and she didn't want to ask her husband directly, please let me have a son who will kill Indra. So instead, she pulled out her, as they say, feminine wiles. You know what that is? No. In other words, she started acting real nice towards her husband. She said, oh, my dear husband, I like it. And she cooked him all his favorite preparations, Lanka, and whatever other preparations he liked. Yeah, anyway. You know what they say, a way to a man's heart is through the stomach. Did you ever hear that before? Through the stomach. So she was cooking him all these nice preparations, very sweet. He said, oh, my dear wife, whatever you want, I'll give you. And she said, really? You know, sometimes there's tricks like that, like we have in the Ramayana, Kaikeyi. She didn't cook nice preparations, she just cried. until Dasarath agreed to give her whatever she wanted. And whatever she wanted was to exile Lord Ram to the forest and to enthrone her son, Bharat. So she said to her husband, yes, please, let me have a son who kills Indra. And the husband was thinking, oh my God, I was tricked again. Because, I mean, the first time he was allured by his wife, he had Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha's sons. Because his wife had him have a relationship at an improper time. The story's there in the Bhagavatam. Now this is the second time. He said, oh my God, I gotta do something about this. I mean, it's bad enough I had Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha's sons. Now she wants a son who's gonna kill Indra. And so then he gave her this ceremony, this austerity to perform. He said, you have to perform this ceremony perfectly. It's called something like payovrata, you know, living by drinking milk, and you couldn't sleep at certain times of the day. You had to perform austerities. And he said, if you do anything wrong, your son is going to be the friend of Indra. So if you make one mistake, she said, don't worry, I won't make any mistakes. She's very determined. So, he was engaging her in devotional service by trick. That's the point I'm making. So, anyway, so she started to perform this, sacrifice, austerities, penance, and Indra understood what was happening. So he came to serve his aunt. So he was serving her at the same time. But really his purpose was to watch out and see if she made any mistake. Just like every day he was watching, he was serving her. My dear aunt, what do you want? And he was looking at him, she makes one mistake, I'm going to kill the kid. So what happened is that she did make a mistake. She slept at the wrong time. She went to sleep at the wrong time. And Indra, immediately understanding that, entered into the womb of his aunt, and he sliced up the embryo into 7 parts. But all 7 parts became 7 living entities. And they were crying. And somehow or other, he was there and the 7 children were there at the same time in Diti's womb. I mean, they're demigoddesses. They can do things like that. And Indra can do things like that. So, so then he thought, well, 7 enemies? I should kill them. So he sliced each one of them into 7 parts. So 7 times 7, anyone know mathematics here?
49.
And then what happened is they said, we're your friends, and then they were all born simultaneously. Indra came out, the 7 entities came out, and they actually said, we're your friends, Indra, because she had made a mistake in the performance of the austerities. And she, because she had been performing all these austerities, she actually became very friendly to Indra. In other words, by trick, she had been engaged by her husband, who was a pure devotee, in Krishna consciousness, and somehow or other, she became purified by engagement. So that's the whole point. Sarvasanga, sarvasanga, sarvasashrikoi, labhamatra sarvasanga, sarvasiddhihoi. So then the question arises, getting to the modern day and age, that why are we not becoming pure devotees? If Diti was able to do that in 30 days, the prostitute was able to do that in 3 days. And then you hear all these stories, and the dacoits were able to do that in basically, you know, a month's time. And, you know, all these stories. And here we are, you know, performing devotional service 30, 40, 50 years, and we're still dealing with all these anarthas. Well, the reason is that we're not... The differences between ourselves and these other examples is that we're not taking the words of Krishna's representative as seriously. I mean, like Chitraketu, for example, he was put in a very difficult circumstance, so he took Narada Muni's words seriously, and of course, the prostitute took it very seriously, and then, there's so many stories. Magrari the hunter took Narada Muni's words seriously. But we're not taking Srila Prabhupada's words seriously. In other words, We are not reading Srila Prabhupada's books. We are not serving his mission. We are taking up Krishna consciousness more or less as a fashion, like a club. You know, we're members of the Hare Krishna club. But we're not actually A.K.A. Hakuranandana. We're not actually dedicated. We're not convinced. Because if we were convinced about Krishna consciousness, Yasha Devi Para Bhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru, Vishayate Katita Yarta Prakashante Mahatmana. If we were actually convinced about Krishna consciousness, we'd be purified. I mean, that's a statement made in the Bhagavatam. That if one has faith in the spiritual master and faith in the Vedic literatures, then everything is revealed to one. In other words, one gets realization. So that's really what's holding us. We don't have that faith. Shada Shade Visha Sakahe Sudrida Nishya. We don't have that faith. It's simply by engaging in Krishna's service that everything will be accomplished. All of our goal, in other words, we'll become happy by engaging in Krishna's service. We have, our mind is diverted. Bahu Shaktas Twanantascha. Bogaishvarya Prasatanam. Tayai Aprita Chetasam. Vyavasayatnaka Buddhir, aka Hakuranandana. Because we're attached to opulence and sense gratification. Bogaishvarya Prasatanam. Tayai Aprita Chetasam. Our mind is not able to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. And specifically fixed in the order of his divine grace to the Prabhupada, which we were mentioning last night, is to serve his mission. We think that we can be Krishna conscious outside of serving Prabhupada's mission. And Prabhupada gave that very famous statement that anyone who thinks that they can be Krishna conscious outside of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is living an hallucination. But what does it mean to be inside the Society for Krishna Consciousness? It means serving the mission. And serving the mission, because last night I was asked to be more specific. Some of the devotees after I spoke commented, yes, service to Prabhupada's temple and everything is nice, but you have to tell specifically what you mean by that. Specifically, what I mean is serving in the deity worship, if you have second initiation, serving in the temple, in one way, cleaning the temple. There's so much service to be done here in the temple. Just like last night, I was observing how the devotees were serving the prasadam and everything like that. And I think it was how nice everyone was serving. And there was one couple from New Caledonia, you know, and they're visiting Fiji. And I was commenting that they're just guests and visiting, but because they consider themselves part of Srila Prabhupada's mission, they were actually serving. In spite of the children, you know, they had two children. And in spite of one child. Sometimes I lose count of the children. So anyway, they had children or a child. And they were serving prasadam out to everybody else. And I was thinking, what is this nice service attitude? That they come and they see that they don't think I'm a guest, I'm meant to be served. And many times we have that mood. People come to our temple, you know, even here in Fiji, especially here in Fiji. People come to the temple and they think, well, I'm a guest. I'm meant to be served. Or I'm a devotee. I know it all. I don't have to go to Bhagavatam class. I don't have to go hear the Sunday feast lecture. I mean, sometimes in the Sunday feast, there's someone giving the lecture and that's the only devotee in the whole temple room. But when it comes time to eating, the devotees are first online. Pretty amazing. So the point is that if we really want to become pure devotees, of course, if you don't want to become pure devotees, let's say you want to become a materialist, you should also serve Krishna. You know, whatever you want, akama, sarvakama, mokshakama, dharati, tivrena bhakti, yogena, purusham, param. Let's say, hypothetically, you don't want to be a pure devotee. You just want opulence and sense gratification. Okay, at least you're honest with me. then still serve Krishna. That's what the statement is in the Bhagavatam. Whether you're free of material desires, full of material desires, or desirous of liberation, look at Dhruva Maharaj. He was full of material desires. And he served Krishna to Vrena in a very enthusiastic, forceful way. So, whatever we want, you come to the temple and serve the mission of Prabhupada. Because this mission, because it's Prabhupada's mission, is Krishna. It is non-different from Krishna. Try to understand that. And if you're trying to become Krishna conscious or please Krishna outside of this mission, you're hallucinating. That's Prabhupada's statement. Hallucinating means you think you're becoming Krishna conscious, or you think you're pleasing Krishna, or you think Krishna's pleased with you, and not actually true. So this is our connection through the pure devotee, through his divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda. Prabhupāda said, ISKCON is like his body. ISKCON, the international, and that means the temples and the yatras, like that, they're all his transcendental body. So we should be serving, massaging Prabhupāda's body, serving Śrīla Prabhupāda's body. I want all the devotees to dedicate themselves to serving whatever temple they're nearby, coming and serving. Not a hard thing. Because Prabhupada wanted that. Anyway, and in this way, you become Krishna conscious very quickly. Not simply by going to Radhakund and running around. I've seen so many devotees go to Radhakund and they run around thinking, hey, they'll become like the Goswamis, hey Rad, hey Bhaja Devake, hey Nanda, Shuno Puta. No, you'll simply become putrefied instead of purified. Prabhupada said that. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, then Radhakund will become Narakakund for you. In other words, you'll go to hell. And we see that. There was an interesting poem written by Prabhupada. It was called Vrindavan Bhajan. And Prabhupada is very heavy about people just living in Vrindavan, thinking they're going to become Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada talks about the illicit activities in that bhajan. It's a very interesting poem. I mean, I should get it out in the next day or two, read it for the devotees. But in any case, Prabhupada indicated that to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the method by which we can become Krishna conscious. So we're giving everybody the opportunity. Don't think you have to do it. It's an opportunity. Look at that. Look at temple service as an opportunity. Isn't it? It's an opportunity to be successful in life. We're offering you an opportunity. We're not saying that you have to do it, but we're offering you an opportunity. And I'm saying you have to do it. Anyway, so I mean, anybody who wants, you know, anyway, I'm supposed to be the GBC and so on, guru of some of you. You have to do that. Otherwise, you're not a disciple of me and you're not a disciple of Prabhupada. Because disciple means discipline. Discipline means carrying out the order, not doing any damn thing you want. That's what discipline means. You understand? So, enough on that light point. So, any questions or comments about any of these points? Yeah.
There are two classes of living in the encounter with this material world.
Yeah.
From the spiritual world.
Right.
One is Nitya Bhakta.
Yeah.
That is,
that's most of us.
Goes into various spiritual
phenomena. Yeah, yeah.
Who gets us out of the becomes human beings.
Yeah.
The second one is Nitya Siddhanta.
Right.
Prabhupada.
Yes, that's.
They come directly from,
yes. Yes, yes. I mean, first of all, the Nityabhadas are forced to take birth, and the Nityasiddhas voluntarily come to carry out the Lord's mission. But Prabhupada's Nityasiddha, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is Nityasiddha, and most of the rest of us, I don't want to offend any of you Nityasiddhas in class here. But, you know, as far as myself, far as myself, I'm trying to do some sadhana and serve Prabhupada's mission so I can become siddha.
That includes the guru.
Now the guru was not always nitya siddha. Although the disciples also had to be careful not to glorify the guru in a way that's not appropriate. You know, sometimes I read these things, you came from the spiritual world. I said, huh? If that's the spiritual world, I don't want to go back there. you know, no, by Prabhupada's mercy, you know, I had Prabhupada's mercy and somehow or other, you know, I'm here, but without Prabhupada's mercy, I'm nothing. That's the point. It's not that the guru is always in the chasiddha. I mean, there's many examples of gurus who were sadhana siddha or kripa siddha, like that. But once you're siddha, you're siddha. Once you're perfect, you're perfect. There's no discrimination. Oh, you became perfect by chanting. I'm not interested in taking instruction from you because you are not eternally perfect. You know, what nonsense is that, isn't it? Siddha is siddha. I mean, if you're perfect, you're perfect. Right? I mean, I was not born with an umbilical cord wrapped around my neck like a Brahmin thread. My parents didn't pray for a pure devotee. They prayed for a doctor. Because now I'm studying health, so I guess they're getting what they wanted after 65 years. So, anyway, I mean, you see, Prabhupada said there's certain symptoms of people who were born in pure devotee families. I mean, they're worshiping the deities from when they're birth, like Prabhupada, or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I mean, sometimes, yes, you have nitya siddhas coming in non-devotee families, like Haridas Thakur. Yes, that's true. But we don't over-glorify to someone is actually an insult. You understand? Saying, oh, you Gurudev, you came from the spiritual world. Oh, and descended because Krishna told you to come. I said, you know, I have to be honest about the whole thing, you know. Isn't it? I mean, Krishna gave me his mercy. But when I was young, I tried to enjoy this world. And then Prabhupada came and told me I couldn't. And I believed him. And it's true. Okay, on that happy note, we should end. All praise to His divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.